moment to get in and out of the courtroom. That appears to have occurred. So, Mr. Catlett, you may approach. And unless counsel have any questions before you begin. Very good. No questions. Mr. Catlett, you may proceed.
I'd like to reserve for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Matt Catlett. I represent the appellant in this matter, Samantha Blocker. This appeal presents the interesting and, as far as I can tell, unprecedented issue of a criminal defendant, convicted defendant's motion for new trial being denied when the motion was stipulated to, the granting of the motion for new trial being stipulated to by the prosecution, by the state.
Is that stipulation stipulating to a question of law?
Well, anticipating that to be the very first question of the day,
I can say that
it is my position and Ms. Blocker's position that it was not, that it was not purely a stipulation of law, that it was, in effect, a stipulation that the evidence was newly discovered after trial and would probably have resulted in a different verdict. And you know, as argued in the brief, this is a unique situation. There's the state in this case was sort of uniquely positioned to know what, you know, what the newly discovered evidence was. Because of that, I guess it is...
Doesn't the judge always have the discretion to
reject the stipulation?
Yes.
Not as to facts. Stipulations as to facts are conclusive proof of those facts. People enter into stipulations all the time for efficiency.
The district court didn't rule on the stipulation at the time of the hearing, correct? There wasn't a... I'm not going to enforce your stipulation or so stipulated. What did the district court judge say about the stipulation?
Nothing much at the hearing. I don't recall the district court really saying much at the hearing. I do remember being surprised.
Is that something?
Honest, that the court was taking it under advisement.
Is there, what is your understanding of the court's explanation? Was that the court didn't think it had the power to grant a new trial, or that a new trial wasn't warranted?
Well, I am not, well, and I'm not sure if this is in the record, but the first thing that happened was that there was a joint stipulation, joint motion and stipulation filed by the state and myself. And that was just rejected. I mean, it was denied. I can't even remember if there was some kind of an order that says, yeah, that I, no hearing, denied, you know, something like that. And I thought, well, I went back and read the statute and said, well, maybe the problem is that there's no affidavit, or maybe the problem is that the motion has to be filed by the defendant because the statute doesn't explicitly say that the state can file a motion for a new trial in a criminal, you know. So I just went back to Mr. Prenda and I said, well, I guess I'll try again and file a motion for a new trial just myself and attach an affidavit of myself and attaching to that affidavit the two letters that were transmitted to me by the county attorney.
What's the ruling? What's the substance of the ruling?
The substance, it appeared to me that not that the judge was not empowered to grant a new trial, but that I guess a new trial wasn't warranted based upon the information that was presented, that that there was not a lot of information presented, and I will admit to that right now. I mean, this...
Is there anything that prevents you from filing another motion for new trial under the way our statute is currently crafted?
No, not as far
successive
as I can
successive motions are not prohibited
not
by
as
the
far as I
statutory
can
scheme.
Couldn't, yeah, could be done again. Could be done again.
What would you do differently
a,
the next
there
time?
There is a language in the statute that requires diligence, I think. If you read the you have to be diligent.
Diligence in discovering the new evidence.
Well, I thought it was diligence in moving for the new trial once it is discovered. I thought that was the statutory language. It may not be, but...
Well, did the judge contest that there was new evidence, or did the judge come to a conclusion that the new evidence didn't make any difference?
Right. Yeah. As far as I can tell, yeah. As the court knows, the judge evaluated essentially three scenarios. The first was that Edigma, prior case, we're talking about the same person here, did not steal the substance that Blocker was charged with possessing. The second was that she did steal it, but only after it was analyzed to determine its identity. And then the third was that she stole it, before it was analyzed to determine its identity, and replaced it with methamphetamine. So the district court found, of course, in the first and second scenarios that direct evidence as to the identity of the substance would not have been excluded because only Adigama's credibility could have been attacked. The third scenario, the judge did concede that while direct evidence would have been excluded, a conviction remained the most likely outcome based upon circumstantial evidence, namely the testimony of the trooper as to the field test. And so we argued, of course, that is, you know, had we known about this, that it really changes the whole kind of trial strategy and what objections you make and what you don't make in front of the jury, so as to, you know, not maybe draw attention to something. Anyway, the district court's suggestions that Adigama's actions might have occurred after trial and that she might not have been part of the chain of custody, of course, were difficult to reconcile with the letters to Walker's counsel.
What evidence do we have in our record at all to say specifically what the tech did wrong in this case?
Yeah, I mean... I sit here and confess completely. There's none. I mean, we don't really have any. What we have is the letters from the state.
That says something may have happened.
Yeah, we have letters from the state. We have this letter posted to the Nebraska Criminal Defense Attorneys Association website by Mr. Condon and whoever the director of the NACDA was at the time. I mean, that's what we got here. I come back to this issue, this, you know, confession of error by the government, you know, that this conviction was wrongful. And that when the government says that it was wrongful, you know, I mean, due process
doesn't
and fairness is turned on its head.
Doesn't your argument ultimately come down to whether or not the judge can be bound by the stipulation that you entered into?
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly that's the primary argument, is the judge bound on these facts?
What have we said about stipulations?
As to law, right? A judge is not bound as to stipulations as to legal conclusions.
Is the materiality of the newly discovered evidence a question of law or a question of fact? Because I understood the judge's order to say this newly discovered evidence is not material, right? It wouldn't have changed the outcome.
Wouldn't have changed the outcome.
Is that a legal conclusion or a factual conclusion?
That a conviction remained the most likely outcome in the third scenario.
And that's part of the definition of materiality under the new trial statute, correct?
We disagree, of course. And so I'm into my rebuttal time, but I just submit that in a case such as this, where you have essentially a confessed error that the conviction was invalid, that if it is a plausible reason, you know, plausible basis, then the court would be bound by that. That if it's plausible, and, you know, it's not in my brief, it's, there's a Michigan, state of Michigan Supreme Court case that came out 1 month after I filed my brief. It's not in my brief. I'll give the court the site here. It's People versus LaBelle, 974 Northwest 2nd, 555, 2022. Opinion was published on June 10th. And there is a dissent. What happened is in that case is that the appellate court reversed and remanded it because the trial court erred in refusing to accept the stipulation, the confession of error, and there was a dissent. And in the dissent said, I would only accept the confession of error if plausible. If the court is looking for a workable rule in a case like this, maybe that's the rule. If it is plausible that once the stipulation is entered into, so long as it is plausible, then the court should be bound by it. I am out of time.
Before you sit down, is there anything that would prevent the parties here from entering a factual stipulation and actually setting forth what this person did wrong in this case and presenting that to the court?
No, I mean, res judicata principles. I mean, I don't know if those apply in a situation such as a motion for new trial. As far as I know, there isn't anything that would prevent that from happening. We don't want that to be the ruling of this court, of course, but as far as I know, there is not. Again, as Judge Stacey asked, you know, there's nothing in the statute that says that successive motions cannot be done, and as far as I know, there's no law that says that somehow she had one shot, and that's it. As far as I know, that's it. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ralph, good morning again. You may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Austin Ralph. I represent the state of Nebraska. Primary issue on appeal is whether the district court abused its discretion in overruling the defendant's motion for new trial. We submit that there was no abuse of discretion, and the other assigned errors having no merit, we ask that you affirm the ruling of the court. I disagree with opposing counsel. I think it was a stipulation as to a matter of law, whether a new trial was warranted, whether the evidence was material.
What's the legal question that was stipulated to, in your understanding?
Well, the legal question is whether the facts as presented warranted a new trial. They stipulated that a new trial was warranted based on the exhibit, the affidavits, and the letters offered. And I don't think that is sufficient. District court properly relied on this court's case law going back to the 30s, you know, about what stipulations of law are. Have it in my brief here, just some of the facts about, State v. Bartle most recently, a legal conclusion is not the proper subject of stipulation. SID 196 from 2015, the question of whether the facts fulfill a particular legal standard presents a question of law. That's exactly what we have here. The proper construction and application of statutory terms is a question of law. That's what they're doing in terms of assessing the materiality and whether it's newly discovered evidence. So,
what are the statutory terms about which there is you all are having a discussion?
Well, the particular terms are 29-21-01, talking about a new trial may be granted for newly discovered evidence material for the defendant, which he or she could not with reasonable diligence have discovered.
And what are the, when we do a statutory interpretation, what words are you all interpreting and the judge interpreting that would make it a question?
Well, this court has said that in interpreting that language, there's two prongs. The first is that they must show the evidence was, in fact, newly discovered. Mm-hmm. The second, the defendant must show that the evidence at issue is so substantial that with it, a different verdict would probably have been reached at trial, and has further explained that materiality refers to newly discovered evidence that is so potent that by strengthening evidence already offered, a new trial would probably result in a different verdict. So those are that's the statutory language that this court has interpreted.
Does section 29-2102 sub 1 also require evidence of the truth of the ground alleged in this type of situation?
Yes. And so I think it's pretty clearly a question of law, and as such, the district court was not bound by the stipulation. It then went on to assess the materiality of the evidence adduced at the evidentiary hearing, which was essentially, like I said, the county attorney letters as well as the defendant's counsel's affidavit. And essentially, the newly discovered evidence was that Adijima, a former NSP evidence tech, was accused of stealing drugs that she had access to through her job, and that she may have been in the, or that she was in the chain of custody for the drugs at issue in this particular case. And I think
that
the district court,
that she was, or that she may have been,
that she was in the chain of custody. Now, whether she actually, you know, had anything to do with these particular drugs, or whether she stole them, there was no evidence related to that. Though the county attorney brief indicated below that she, you know, had been accused or indicted for stealing, as the prior case said, fentanyl, cocaine, and marijuana, not methamphetamine, as in this particular case. But then the district court, you know, assessed that evidence, went through the proper framework, analyzed it, found the materiality was lacking correctly in our view, and then overruled the motion for new trial. And under those circumstances, I just don't see how there could be an abuse of discretion. As far as the other assigned errors, I'd submit those on the brief.
Your position is that the question of materiality is a question of law?
I think that would be too, yes. It's interpreting the statutory language, assessing whether the facts as presented satisfy that particular standard. And so it also is a question of law, with the overarching question being, is a new trial warranted?
If it's a mixed question of law and fact, what's the outcome?
It would be the same, I think, because the stipulation is that the stipulation was grant us a new trial. A new trial is warranted. And that is not binding on the district court.
Isn't the standard similar to Strickland prejudice? And don't we say that's a mixed question of law and fact? Whether there's a reasonable probability that deficient conduct would have affected the outcome?
Well, yes, I suppose so. But the factual part of that is the underlying performance of counsel and what the context in which it arises. But the conclusion about whether prejudice resulted is a legal conclusion. It's a question of law. So even if you say it's a mixed question of law and fact, I think the ultimate conclusion here that a new trial is warranted, which is what was ultimately stipulated to, that's a question of law. So you can parse those out, I think. The factual questions here would be the underlying conduct. What did Adijima do? What has been proven? Did she steal the drugs, et cetera? The legal part of that would then be, is that material? Is that newly discovered? Does that warrant a new trial? Unless this court has further questions, we'd ask that you affirm.
I did have another one in terms of these successive motions.
Yep.
Is what the state's position, successive motions are permitted, remain permitted?
It seems to me that you would have a question of both issue and claim preclusion there. After this case is resolved, you would have a final judgment. You'd be raising essentially something you could have raised before. It seems like that would be barred under claim preclusion.
What was the trial judge's view about taking this up again after this appeal, if any?
I don't know that the trial judge spoke on that. I think the trial judge just said your motion is denied because you haven't met the legal standard. And then they had a paragraph at the end about whether, you did this as part of a strategic or a miscalculation. That's what happened. And so we overrule your motion for new trial. I don't know that she spoke to a possible future proceeding.
Is it the state's position that the denial of a post-conviction motion for new trial results in a judgment? An order denying a motion for new trial is a judgment? Is that what you're, is that what I understood?
Possibly would be a final judge. I guess I would have to...
I'm trying to understand the claim and issue preclusion and how it would fit in.
Well, I mean, it's sort of... If it is a final judgment, which, I'd have to think about that a little bit more, but he had the opportunity to raise it. That's the quintessential principle of res judicata, of claim preclusion, and he didn't. Would he be able to then raise it again? I suppose.
But he's under a statute, right?
Yes, it is statutory. Yes.
It's statutory. What's that statute say?
Well, the statute, I think, just has a, it doesn't have like it does in post-conviction with successive motions, I suppose. So perhaps you can raise it in a new motion for new trial.
As a matter of statute?
Yeah. Unless this court has further questions, we'd ask that you affirm the ruling. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal, counsel. That concludes arguments in State versus Blocker. So you are excused. The next case of the day, then, is NP Dodge Management Company versus Holcomb. Yes, counsel, good morning to you. Is it Ms. Ogle?